You know, the oil is important to us. We had two Gulf Wars, and everyone, obviously, oil is something that's valuable to our country, and we all understand the value of that. And when there's instability in that part of the world, there's prices go up and down, sort of thing. And when there's a protracted drought, water becomes a concern. And when there's a heavy fog, smog hanging over a city like the city of my birth, the city of the Angels, Los Angeles, in Southern California, then air control is a concern. Oil and water and air, kind of important. But this morning we talk about something that's even more important, more valuable, something more significant and long range and more lasting. And that is a matter of time. I imagine last week, this past week, you have rushed, you have been stressed, you have thought, if I just had more time. Anybody like that? If I just had more time, hurried, rushed, stressed, running late, wishing we had if you'd set your watch just 5 minutes earlier, and then you would realize, oh, I got a 5 minute cushion, time, very valuable. And a second stressor of our day, a second stressor is money. Writing those bills, paying for those bills, saving for this, saving for that. We all understand about that. So we focus on the importance of time today and the stewardship of management of money next week. And so the clock and the dollar, the clock and the dollar. There's a lot of stress from either of these, and want to work on these a little bit today. The value of time. While money remains valuable, time is even more valuable. Probably the dominant indicator of value is going to be time. And actually, you go to work and you trade your giftedness and your ability and your skill for, you pour in your brain power, your mental horsepower and your muscle and your, whatever, insight. And then you exchange that for a commodity called money. You do that 4 to 8 or 9 to 5 or whatever, unless you're on flex time and earlier, whatever. And then you take that commodity, that transmission that's occurred, and you convert that money into the necessities of life. So that money represents your time. Time is an extremely valuable commodity. Time can't be manufactured. It is a non-renewable source. I mean, you've only got so much time, and every day we feel the frustration of inadequate time, don't we? 24 hours, 1,440 minutes, 86,400 seconds. Nobody gets more, nobody gets less. Everybody gets the same amount of time. We all have the same amount of time. The Bible focuses, it says a lot about time, and it focuses the transient nature of time, and it brings it to a climax, BCAD, when it says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son. Who's got Galatians 4:6 or 4:4? I think that's the first verse, isn't it?
The one you just quoted.
Yeah. I want somebody to read it, if somebody would, at this table, please. Galatians 4:4. Is it there? Is it not on your sheet?
No.
Not on your sheet. Okay. All right. That's a freebie on me then, all right? Okay. Hey, great. Thanks, Deb.
But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law. Do you want me to go on?
No, that's good. Yeah, all I really want is the word time. The fullness of time. Time gets full, and God was marching along with his plan, and the time was right, and he came to a conclusion. Time. Leonard Bernstein says, after he died, a newspaper carried a quote up from him. He says, as one gets older, one gets more jealous of one's time. Amen. It's running out. I don't mind that I've aged, that my hair is white, that there are lines in my face. What I mind is terribly is the sense that there's not enough time. Life is a feverish rehearsal for a concert that we don't have time to play. About the time we become proficient with our instrument, meaning walking in a spirit-filled way, our instrument has to be laid down and we get promoted. And how very nice to know that once that happens, how completely satisfying to turn from our limitations to God, who has eternity at his disposal, where every moment is present, where every moment is the now. For us, 5 years ago, 25 years ago, you see, for God, time, he's outside of time, and every moment is now for him. And it's wonderful. He has no deadlines. He can relax, and so we can relax. We don't see Jesus Christ running madly through the Gospels, frantically buttonholing every person. Mad dashes, no, just a steady marching toward his goals. I want to challenge you this morning to not be frantic, not to be nervous, not to be stressed, but steadily using your time to march toward your goals. Goals that glorify God, things that God has given you that you want to do. You feel engaged. You feel you want to do this because God is leading you to do this. And this is your gifting. This is what people say you're good at. And to do that, that's just really great. A steady marching. He ordered his time. And do we have John 17:4? We don't have that one either, huh? I have brought you glory on earth, Jesus said, by completing the work you gave me to do. John 17:4. So here is the Lord Jesus marching forward and achieving his goal of dying on the cross. Is it warm in here or is it just me?
It's warm.
Who said it's just you? Can we? Thank you, Tony. Okay, time, very important. Use time wisely because the days are... Is there a blank there for evil? Yeah, days are evil. Days are evil. Oh, there's a blank back in the past back here about he marched steadily toward. The goal was the cross for our Lord Jesus, if you're filling the blanks. Days are evil. Right in this, embedded in this Paul's letter to the Ephesians, there's this curious phrase, for the days are evil. Can somebody read that passage for us, Ephesians 5, 15, 16? Where is that? Are we over here?
Well,
are we over here?
I thought it was the first verse.
Okay, first verse. Thank you, Gary.
Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil.
Making the most of your time because the days are evil. The world does not incline us toward godliness, does it? It is not a friend to help us on to grace. You know the Zamperini movie that just came out, Unbroken? You know, that guy was gloriously saved in a crusade in Los Angeles. His wife drug him to the meetings, and he said, okay, but as soon as that guy starts to give that thing about come forward, I'm leaving. And he walked to the end of the road to leave that way, and the Spirit of God turned him, and he went that way. Do you think Hollywood told that story? They cut the movie off. See, they didn't tell the real story. So yeah, you got to read the book. The book's normally better than the movie, okay? Especially if it comes out of Hollywood. The world is not a friend to help us unto God. And we have a traitor on the inside of us.
Right.
It's called the old sin nature that is always ready for evil. And there are temptations, aren't there? There are constant temptations. There's the temptation to whine. Any whiners here besides me? Yeah, do you serve cheese in your wine? And then there's the temptation to shine. You know, pride just gallops, right? It doesn't run a mile, it gallops, you know? And then the recline. So you got wine, shine, and recline. Not original with me. Our bodies are made for pleasure and gluttony and rest and pampering, and you know, we got to take care of it. Times are evil, folks. We have to discipline ourselves toward godliness to use our time in a way that is good. I come to 10:30 at night. I told Marilyn the other day, I said, honey, everything looks good at 10:30 at night, doesn't it? I mean, I can just stoke in that food. She goes upstairs every night. Guess where I go? What's that?
To the kitchen.
Me? Yeah, big time. I hit the fridge. I just need to have something in my tummy, you know, so I can fall asleep. Right, Steve?
I
knew I liked you.
I got a lot of compassion.
The days are evil. We have natures that incline us toward things that are not glorifying to God. And we have to be careful because there are great thieves at work today, teaming up with the world, the flesh, and the devil to team up with our fallen natures that cause us to not do well. Who has Colossians chapter 2, verse, chapter 3, verse 2? Is that one there, I hope?
Yes, sir.
Oh, good. Yes, yes, sir.
Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth.
As we think about the use of our time, we need to set our minds on things above, not on things on the earth. If we don't, like water seeks its own source, we will... Hello? Ruth, you're laughing like it's you. I just assumed it was you. Okay. Our days are potentially evil because every temptation and evil force is active this minute. Minutes are important because they're the building blocks of hours, and the hours are the building blocks of days. What you do in a few minutes becomes what you do for an hour, what you do for 3 hours. And so we need to be careful. Now is the time. Everything we do is done in the dimension of now. Yesterday is a canceled check. Tomorrow is a promissory note. But today, this moment, is a blank check. And I can write in this moment what God wants me to do. I can do now what God wants me to do. Very important. Every minute. I only have just a minute. Only 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it. Didn't seek it, can't refuse it. But it's up to me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it. Give an account if I abuse it. It's only a minute, but eternity is in it. The ever-present now. Number two, let's use time wisely because we prepare for eternity in the dimension of time. We prepare for eternity in the dimension of time. Is that on the outline?
Yep.
Use time wisely because we prepare for eternity in the dimension of time. Meryl and I went to a class reunion this past week, and we were handed this reunion thing and had an in-memory section. I was surprised that Ray Luke had died and gone to heaven. I'm surprised that Ron Bush, I'm sorry you don't know these people, Clint Caulfield, Charles Jones, friends of mine. I know. How many of you know somebody who's 10 years younger than you who's already died? 10 years younger than you, you've already died. My Marilyn's father died at 58. My roommate in seminary died at 42. I have already lived 12 years longer than my father-in-law had.
Praise the Lord.
I am. And I've lived a lot longer than my roommate, Lloyd Lerna, did. And there was kind of three of us that ran around together, Ken and down in Ohio, and Lloyd and myself, and both those guys are gone. That's motivation, isn't it?
Sure.
That is. Yeah, it should be motivation. Do you have a list of some of these people? I mean, you have your own list, of course, different names, but you know some people, you've been to a reunion, you find out, oh, so-and-so died? You see, we prepare for eternity in the time dimension.
Amen.
And one day, for every one of these people, their preparation is complete. They cannot prepare anymore. It's done. It's a done deal. When it's gone, it's gone. And so today is valuable. Not in the sense that we're supposed to be frantic, but in the sense that we're supposed to think about how we use our time. Time is a tremendously important asset. I'm on page 3 and I got to race along here. Let's see here. Where am I? We read there in Psalms 90, verse 12. What does it say? Sorry, Michael.
He's got it.
Okay, please.
That we may gain a heart of wisdom.
Lord, teach us to number our days, Psalms 90, verse 12, that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. Wow, that's a great verse, isn't it? That whole psalm, that whole 90th psalm is just a really, really a precious verse. And since that could be any day, I mean, there's thousands of people who have died today across the whole world, and thousands more that will die today. And since we don't know when that day could be, when our preparation will be finished, it makes sense to have some goals and have your eye on the goals and work steadily toward achieving those things that honor and glorify the Lord Jesus. How about 2 Corinthians 6:2? Does somebody have that one over there on your table, please?
For he says, at the acceptable time, I listen to you, and on the day of salvation, I help you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.
If there's anyone in this room who's never genuinely given their will to God and been transformed by faith in Jesus Christ, this would be a great day, the 31st of May, to give your will back to the one who created it and created that opportunity for you to make that valuable choice. Today, we have today, at least we've had so far to up to 9, up to 10, 22, the 31st of May. We don't know about the rest.
Amen.
Well, thirdly, time is short. We need to use our time wisely because time is short. Time is short. The more valuable something is, the more rare something is, the more valuable it is, right? If you could pick up diamonds and gold by the side of the road, no big deal, right? But time, you see, eventually gets short. Time will not be as valuable as it is if we never die. But because we will die, we need to realize that our time is short. James chapter 4, verse 14 says, and I'm going to read this one for somebody here, that it's just a miss. Life is just a miss. It's just very short. Now, some of you can remember things, probably most of us can remember things joyously that happened when you were a teenager or even a child. And it's not because just of your power of memory, but it's because reality is it wasn't that long ago.
Right.
20 years ago, 40 years ago. Time is short, and time is passing. Time is passing. You know, time isn't like a block of ice you can pull out of the freezer and use. You know, it's something you get moment by moment by moment. You can't rush it, can't slow it up, can't rush it. Time is going by. Time is short. And to illustrate that to you, let me just suggest something. Just a little bit of a visual. If this thing that is 36 inches long, and if we can let the life expectancy used to be 72 years. Now it's more than that, so the illustration breaks down. It's not perfect, but it'll give you an idea, okay? So we got this 72-year life here. I don't think anybody here is under 20, so let's just whack off 20 years, and now we're down to this much, all right? If you're 30 years of age, you're down to this much. If you are 40, you're down to this much. If you are 60, whoa, you're down to that much.
Now, wait a minute, what happened to the 50s here?
They were about right here, Larry. Suppose you are 70. Can't break it. If you're 70, you run out of strength. If you're 70, according to the old life expectancy, you got that much left. Time is short.
Amen.
Time is short. We want to use our time. I'm going to have to rush ahead. We're accountable to God with our time. So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Believers, non-believers. No more sobering verse in all of the Bible than Romans 14:12. So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. How we've used our time. It's a precious commodity that God has given to us. He's given us enough time to relax, enough time to raise our families, enough time to be employed, and enough time to serve him and enjoy him. He wants us to use our time with eternity in view for his glory and growing to become like him. Time is very valuable, very valuable. At death, we will have wished that we had used our time very wisely, but then, of course, it'll be too late. It'll be too late to realize the value of time. To realize the value of 10 years, ask a newly divorced couple. To realize the value of 4 years, ask two now single high school sweethearts. To realize the value of 1 year, ask a student who has failed a final exam. To realize the value of 9 months, ask a mother who gave birth to a stillborn child. To realize the value of 1 month, ask a mother who has given birth to a premature baby. To realize the value of 1 week, ask an editor of a weekly newspaper. To realize the value of 1 hour, ask lovers who are waiting to meet. To realize the value of 1 minute, ask a person who missed a plane or a train. To realize the value of 1 second, ask someone who survived an automobile accident. Because in one more second, they would have been another 20 feet or 40 feet down that road at 70 miles an hour and they'd been killed. To realize the value of 1 millisecond, ask the person who's just won a silver medal in the Olympics. We're in a very long, fast skate. A skate blade of that much difference, 14, 16 inches of a skate blade can be a millisecond in terms of when they're moving that fast and the difference between meddling or not meddling. Time is valuable. Let's use our time for the glory of God.
That's right.
I want to close by pointing out a couple of things that I hope would be an encouragement. Would everybody turn, please, in their Bible to Joel. Joel. Lord, help me find Joel.
I believe it's on page 700.
700? Thanks. Thanks, Michael. Some of us have wasted some time, maybe some years. You see, Bernie Howard, if she were standing right here, would tell you that she wasted 70 years of her life. You want to get to know Saint Bernie Howard. She is a delightful woman. And I guarantee you, she's not whining or shining or reclining. She's busy for the Lord. But now notice a promise, and take this one to the bank and cash it. Joel chapter 2, verse 25. Sing good, babe. Thanks, Deb, for contributing to my worship by singing. I'll be careful. Thank you. Joel chapter 2, verse 25. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. You see, God brought judgment upon the people. And it came in the form of a plague of locusts that just ate everything, just stripped the land bare, just moved through across the country and ate all the vegetation, all the crops, all the things the cattle were dependent, just moved like a huge wave, you see. Now, God says here, and it's a wonderful promise, he says, I will repay you or restore to you the years the locusts have eaten, the great locust, the young locust, the other locust, and the locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God. God has ways. Yes, we cannot add any dates to the calendar. We cannot add any pages to the calendar. We cannot go back. We cannot go back to yesterday. We can't go back 30 seconds. It's said that when Voltaire, the famous French atheist, died, he was desperate for a little more time. Thomas Hume, I'm told, was desperate for just a little more time. We cannot go back. But what we can do is we can use the fact that we wasted time to motivate us to use our time wisely. Again, not frantically, not legalistically, not like we're earning our own salvation or anything like that. Indeed, we cannot even contribute to our sanctification. The Spirit of God has to do that. But we can place ourselves in those things and those attitudes that the Spirit of God will use. And he will restore to us the years the locusts have eaten as we seek him, as we pursue him. Now, one more promise, and I'll let you go. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. You know where I'm going. Where am I going? 13 and 14. You ought to have this one well in mind, because you will counsel people. You will talk to people. Your prisoners who are losing time. You know, these men in prison. By the way, prison, God is doing some amazing things in a Filipino prison named Bilibid. Bilibid prison in Manila, terrible place. But there are many, many saints, many, many people who've become believers in that terrible, hot, miserable in climate of prison. There are churches inside Bilibid prison, a number of churches, and 12, 14,000 inmates, a number of churches inside prison. Colson, Charles Colson, focused attention on prisons after he came out of prison. Prison fellowship. Prison is a grinder that God uses to cause people to realize their need of Him. Now here in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13 we read, "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. For one thing I do," here we go, Philippians 3:13, "forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead." Forgetting what is behind. There's my verse. See? "And straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal." Not frantically. Not functioning under the tyranny of the shoulds and the musts and the urgents and so forth. Just steadily marching toward our goals. That means less TV. That means more prayer. That means more fellowship. That means being interested in people around you. That means not just looking at them and saying, "How are you?" and striding past them at full stride, not even slowing down as you ask the question, "How are you?" I mean, meaningless, you know? But if we take time to ask people, stop, look at them, engage their eyes, they will tell you how they're doing. And then you'll have a chance to enter into their life a little bit. You'll have a chance to let your circle of your life touch the circle of their lives and for some intertwining to occur. And that's exciting. That's good. "Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which Christ has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." I've skipped several pages, but there's some outlines there, some thoughts there. God bless you. I love being with you. You guys are alive. You know that?
We love you too.
You're alive. I just enjoy being with you. Let's pray. Okay. Thank you, David.
I'm sorry. I just had this one for
you. Okay. Give it to us. Quick.
"Only one life. Soon to pass. Only things done for Christ will last."
Yes. And there's a good, is it Jim Elliot? Nate Saint, I can't remember. "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." That's a good thought, isn't it? Whoa. Father, we are grateful that some of our time has been given to you. We pray that more would be given to you, that we might enjoy you, Father. We might be conscious of you, Father. We are needy people. And we ask you, Lord, that you would help us to be aware of you, conscious of you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all your goodness. Thank you that Jesus marched steadily toward the cross in the goal of dying for our rebellion and our indifference and our struggle and our neediness, Lord. Thank you. Bless in the hour to come as we sing to you, as the ensemble sings with the children. And Father, then as Bob brings the word, we pray that you might just refresh us and challenge us. And give us victory over sin, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.